We're back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. The November ballot is all set now. Marco Rubio versus Patrick Murphy, for the U.S. Senate. Barbara Simmons has lived in Boca Raton since 1954. She was among the 1 out of 5 registered voters who actually turned out for this primary election.
Patrick Murphy, because he has a good, long-standing record. I mean, we know Patrick Murphy. He's on television. He's very believable.
So that's who she is supporting for the United States Senate seat that is open in Florida. Nicholas Alvarez also voted on Tuesday in Boca Raton.
And I vote for Marco Rubio because I think he's the guy who has the capacity to do the things that we want as a senator. We trust him. He's not a liar.
So count Alvarez as a Rubio supporter. Both of those voters, members of the WLRN Miami Herald Public Insight Network. In another race for the fall, it'll be a runoff for Miami-Dade County Mayor, Mayor Carlos Jimenez, facing off against Raquel Regalado.
Today, we made history. For the first time, we take a well-funded incumbent to November.
This will be my third time in a runoff election in a November, and I do very, very well in November. So.
In the southernmost U.S. House district, Joe Garcia beat Annette Tadeo to be the Democratic challenger against Republican Congressman Carlos Curbelo, setting the stage for a repeat of that general election from 2 years ago. So what issue did you take with you to the polls? Did you even bother to vote? Will you come out in November? It's politics and voting now. 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Let us know on Twitter at WLRN. Jim DeFede is along with us from CBS4 in Miami. Patricia Mazzei covering politics for our partner, the Miami Herald, with us from our studios in Doral. Patty, let's begin with you. There were no debates in the primary races for the U.S. Senate. But Senator Rubio was quick to challenge Patrick Murphy to a series of debates after both of them won on Tuesday. What's the latest for that?
Well, so far they have agreed to one debate on October 26th at Broward College in Davie. That debate was organized by Leadership Florida and the Florida Press Association, and it is the only one that both Rubio and Murphy have said yes to. Murphy responded to Rubio's challenge by saying he won't agree to more than one debate until Rubio agrees to spending a full 6-year term in Congress, which, you know, they're two unrelated issues, obviously. And Murphy is trying to highlight the fact that Rubio campaigned for president in his first Senate term and won't commit to not running for president again in 2020. I'm, you know, not sure that the public is served by not having more debates, because if you miss the one on October 26th or you want to vote early, before then, you don't get a chance to see these two guys face off. So there might be more. I mean, Rubio's camp has made a big deal about accepting other invitations. There have been several across the state. So we'll see where that ends up.
Jim DeFede, wise for Murphy to accept all six, or at least accept more than one?
Well, there's two ways of thinking about that. You could say to yourself, he needs to get his name out there. He needs to sort of push the case as much as he can. But on the other side, you know, they know that Marco Rubio is a great debater and that Patrick Murphy hasn't done very well in public speaking. So it's a little bit of a disadvantage. But I do agree there tends to be there's going to be more than one debate.
Possibly more than one debate. Let's get it going here on the phones. Let's begin in Boca Raton. It is Inez joining us here on the Florida Roundup. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi. I voted for Patrick Murphy because he has a 21st century updated receptiveness to advocacy groups, public health groups, and environmental science groups, and not an outdated mid-century narrow focus. We have very tough challenges to public health, environmental degradation issues, public health, public pollution issues. And Patrick Murphy is better equipped and just has a broader scope of understanding.
I know. Hey, Tom, can I ask her a question?
Absolutely. I'm fine. What's interesting, Jim, is she talks about the 21st century attitude she sees in Pat Murphy. And Senator Rubio centered his presidential campaign around a new century.
Well, I just wanted to ask her.
His voting record is like a 1950s politician, and I noticed that many years ago.
Well, I just wanted to ask Inez, you know, based on what you just said, would you like to see Patrick Murphy, though, espouse those ideas in more than one debate, or do you think there should just be one debate?
I would like to see as many debates as possible.
Okay. We'll put that to the Murphy campaign. Inez joining us from Boca Raton. Thank you so much. Patty, both Rubio and Murphy obviously have legislative records that they have to run on. Rubio in the Senate, Patrick Murphy in the U.S. House. What are the issues that separate them?
Well, the ones that we have heard about so far are from the Murphy campaign, things like climate change, that he has said he has voted more pro-environment than Rubio. He's also made a big deal about LGBT issues, that Rubio doesn't support a same-sex marriage. Rubio gave a speech in Orlando recently that was criticized by the left because he was speaking to conservative pastors who oppose same-sex marriage. And as part of his speech, Rubio said, you know, just because we oppose it doesn't mean we don't welcome with open arms people who disagree with us. He tried to strike a more conciliatory tone. The Rubio folks have said, you know, Patrick Murphy isn't ready for office, hasn't done much for small businesses, wasn't able to get the Obama administration to issue an emergency declaration for the algae blooms in Lake Okeechobee. There's, you know, environmental issues that always come up in Florida races. And I think because this is going to be such a key contest in the national campaign for the Senate, we're going to see the national issues play out here, too. I mean, Zika is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
is it a referendum on the at the top of the ticket?
We'll see. The polls so far have suggested plenty of crossover votes for people who are willing to vote for Rubio, even if they're also voting for Clinton for president.
You know, and then of course, that is consistently, Jim, one of the critiques about the closed primary system in the state of Florida. Curtis sent us a tweet saying he didn't vote. Quote, why do we even have non-primary votes on a primary election? It's stupid. See you in November. To some degree, an obtuse way talking about the closed space that Florida primaries historically have been.
Yeah, obviously you had some local races that you could vote on, whether you were
right,
a Democrat or Republican, independent county commission races, judicial races, the amendment that passed with regard to solar energy. So those things were on the ballot. But you're right, it does depress turnout when you can't vote for the big races, you know, in the primary.
Yeah, speaking of turnout, let's go down to Key West. Mike is joining us from the Keys. Mike, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Hi, I was just going to make a comment that you know, the average American watches over 5 hours of TV 365 days a year, and yet less than 30% of people who could be, 30% of people who could vote are not even registered. So even in a national election on for president, you get approximately one out of three people out. And I think you only have two basic duties as a citizen. One is to vote, and the other is to serve on a jury. Without that, the system doesn't work, and I don't understand why people don't take 5 to 10 minutes once every 4 years.
Well, in one of those cases, if you don't do your civic duty, you're going to get in some legal trouble. The other one, if you don't follow through with vote, you just have to live with the consequences of the choices that are being made in your behalf, I suppose, Mike.
Yeah, I think one of the solutions is to make registering part of getting a driver's license, which was done in Florida a while ago. But I think it also ought to be that if you don't vote, there should be a tax. You have to pay if you miss several elections.
Patty, how about turnout here? We saw in Monroe, in the Keys, where Mike is, about a 30% turnout of registered voters. Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, about 20% of registered voters showing up in the primaries.
Yeah, Broward was particularly low, the lowest in the state. And supervisors of election had said, you know, 30%, at least in Dade County, was the high end. We really hadn't seen that kind of turnout in previous elections, and we didn't this time either. We saw it at 20%. I'm sure the rain down here on election day didn't help, but people do get confusing messages, right? It's a primary, so most people who are not registered with a party might not know that there are nonpartisan races they can turn out to. Mm-hmm. And every time you see negative campaigning, which we're seeing at the presidential level, and it kind of trickles down, that depresses turnout. So what that could portends for November could be another election where the numbers are not really high.
I want to bring Carlos in from Hialeah. Carlos is a member of our WLRN Miami Herald Public Insight Network. And Carlos, welcome to the Florida Roundup. You're a registered independent. You did not vote during the Florida primary. Why not, Carlos?
Well, when I tried, I was turned away. They were trying to look me up on that computer blotter, and I saw my parents' name, and my name wasn't on the list. And she kept looking for it, and couldn't find it. And then she asked me, well, what party do you belong to? I told them I'm a registered independent. And that's when she told me, oh, Well, you can't vote in the primary.
That's incorrect.
Well, that's what I was told, and then I was given a phone number to call, and I called, and they backed her up on it. So I just stood there with my mouth open and walked out. I couldn't believe it.
Who was they? Who was they? Was that the elections department?
The pollsters, the people that work at the polls.
Right, but who did you call?
I called, I believe it was Miami-Dade, the elections supervisor over there in Doral. I didn't speak to the supervisor. I spoke to someone there. And I asked questions. I asked why. And they told me that's the way it is in Florida.
They didn't tell you weren't registered.
Because I was an independent register.
And they didn't offer a provisional ballot.
Right. She goes, so, no, this is, you have to be a registered Democrat or a Republican. And I just stood there with amazed.
When there's clearly nonpartisan races, Jim, as you mentioned, the judicial races, the county races, the local municipal races, which are nonpartisan.
So here's the lesson, and I want to be careful because generally we haven't heard about a lot of problems on Election Day this time around, and you don't want to create the perception that the entire department is a screw-up. But here's the thing. Here's the lesson for everyone. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, wake the dogs and the kids, let them all know this, that if on Election Day you go down and they tell you you can't vote, demand a provisional ballot. Demand a provisional ballot that you can fill out. They'll put it to the side, and then you can sort it out the next day or the days later.
Right.
But they cannot stop you from voting
provisionally.
Provisionally.
That is right. That is right. Now the dogs and the kids can't vote provisionally.
They've got them registered.
That Jim wanted everybody to wake
up
to, but
Jim.
Nonetheless, yes. All right, Carlos from Hialeah, I know we'll stay in touch with you. I appreciate your input there. The Florida Roundup here, talking about the voting. We're just through a primary election here in Florida, on the way to November and the general election. What issue did you take with you to the ballot box or to your absentee ballot, presumably, if you had one? Odds are you didn't vote. Let us know on the Florida Roundup, 800-743-9576. Jim DeFede with CBS4 along with us. Patricia Mazzei covering politics for our partner, the Miami Herald, with us from our Doral studios. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale and bring in Mary Ann. Mary Ann, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead, your thoughts. Mary Ann, you with us? We will move on from Mary Ann. Let's talk to Kathy in Miami. Kathy, you want to talk about the big race in Miami-Dade County, which was the mayoral race, Mayor Carlos Jimenez and Raquel Regalado. Go ahead, Kathy, your thoughts.
Yes, hi. I was one of the people who voted. I think that's very important. And I think that she's done a really good job, Ms. Regalado, as a school board member, because I'm a teacher, and I've watched her votes and the way she handles herself in that sense, and I think that she would be able to carry those same skills over to the job that we were voting for just recently.
Kathy, we appreciate your thoughts, bringing your professional experience into the ballot box for you. Jim, this was a race that got hotter and more personal as we got closer to primary day. And Mayor Jimenez was not able to garner 50% plus one to avoid a runoff. So we've got a runoff election between these two candidates here. So what does Mayor Jimenez need to do to shore up his support, and Regalado need to do to find more support in order to make it a contest?
Well, maybe the mayor could start by firing all the consultants he hired who thought he was going to get him through through the primary. He spent about $4 million, and he wasn't able to get him over that 50% hurdle. Look, this is a whole new race now. This is a completely different electorate that'll turn out in November. Forget everything from before. This starts new. This race will be at least three times as large in terms of the number of people who will turn out and vote in November. Raquel Regalado's got to try to make the case that it's time for a change. She has a couple of things going for her, not many, but one of the things that she has going for her is you can expect greater union participation. Union members will be turning out in greater numbers in the same same way that they'll be turning out in the presidential race to help Hillary Clinton and Patrick Murphy win their race, if she can somehow tap into those resources, since a lot of the unions do not like Carlos Jimenez, that could give her a little bit of a boost. But a lot of it's, this could, you know, this, the national race could end up having an impact on this race. And you'll see, as the Miami Herald was reporting, as you know, I've been making calls and talking to, you're going to see that there's suddenly going to be who can distance themselves fastest from Trump and get close enough to Hillary Clinton without seeming to be pandering that way. It's going to be really interesting in that mayoral race, since they're both actually registered Republicans.
Patty, well, why does that matter in this mayoral, this technically nonpartisan race, in terms of its reflection or referendum at the top of the ticket come November, the Trump versus Clinton for the presidential vote?
Well, because it is such an unusual year where you have Republicans, many of them in Miami, disavowing Trump, it becomes a question of where is their political ideology, and does that affect their time in local office? I mean, it's hard not to nationalize down ballot elections, because that's what most people want to talk about. And the candidates get asked to weigh in on what people on the top of the ticket say, whether they have endorsed them or not, if they're in their party or not. And so it's inevitable that there's going to be this back and forth here of, you know, you're in a blue county, especially in presidential elections. Mm-hmm. You're trying to represent those people, speak for them, and show them that you're not someone who's just going to stick by your party affiliation. So I think Jim is right. This is really a dynamic that's going to play out, in addition to the differences, that the very real differences that they have on local issues.
Some of these primary races, of course, were arguably effectively election days for some in the U.S. House District 23, Jim. That was the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Tim Canova race, Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz surviving that biggest primary challenge, effectively reelected, in your opinion?
Oh, I think anytime you win by, you know, 14 points or so, that's a good win, considering that Tim Canova spent, probably at the end of the day we'll find out, he spent $3.5 million or so in a campaign against her. He had her at a moment when she was probably at her political weakest, down vilified across the country. Look, if Debbie Wasserman Schultz's name was on a national ballot against Tim Canova, Tim Canova would have won in a landslide. But this wasn't a national race, as much as Tim Canova tried to make it such. This was a local race, and for the people in that district who have known Debbie Wasserman Schultz and voted for her for state house, state senate, and sent her as the first Jewish American woman to Congress from Florida, you know, there was a sense of family there that he tried awfully hard, but he wasn't able to crack through that and get them to disavow her.
And she wrapped up a lot of the municipal support from mayors in the closing weeks of that campaign. On line two, Jason is in Miami. Jason, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Your thoughts. Go ahead. Jason, you with us still? Sounds like somebody may be walking through the front door there at Jason's house, or at least ringing the doorbell. We'll try to get back. But is that Jim, in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district, effectively a majority Democrat, Democratic registered district? She still has a general election to get by, but is it going to provide her with the kind of fight that she saw from her own party?
No.
No. Let's go to Mark in Big Pine Key is checking in on the low participation. Mark, in the Keys, 30%. You did pretty good for turnout, comparatively speaking.
Are you kidding? You know,
comparatively
thank you for
speaking.
Answering my call. Thank you for answering my call. I've been at Florida Keys, down here in the lower Keys, toward 30 miles from Key West, for over 40 years. I raised my wife and three kids here, built my house, had a legal business, and the way I'm watching things going, I was so involved, and I preach to my friends all the time, not only get registered to vote, it's like get involved. I think Americans have forgot the part about our country is of the people, by the people, and for the people. But it's gotten to the point where everybody wants for the people. What about John Kennedy when he said, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
So, Mark, let me ask your prescription then. You're in Monroe County. You had, amongst the four counties in South Florida, the highest voter turnout in this primary election, 30%. What's your message to the 7 out of 10 friends and neighbors of yours in Monroe County who are registered but didn't bother to show up.
My message is it's despicable. Did not only vote big, and then I don't even know the guy at Mike that was in, called in from Key West, talked about fines or taxes. That's negative reinforcement. Let's do this. Okay, you go to vote, and then you get a voucher to go to the state park for a week for free or something. You know what I mean? Jury duty. People are afraid of jury duty here. Man, you can't stop your job for a day and go down there for $32 or something. Incentivize people to become Americans and get involved and make it. I'll give you one real quick example. I know we're on the radio. I live on a little street. You know, it's about a quarter mile long between two canals. The canal on the other side of the street is a flow-through canal. My canal is a dead canal. We need a bubble around the end. We're not waiting for the government. As neighbors, we get together. We had yard sales every summer. We'd make $1,200 or $1,400 one summer. And that funds the electric bill on the bubbler. Mm-hmm. And one of our good neighbors, Kino, up here on the street, he's a good diver. He gets it in there, and we do it.
There you go.
That's what America's all about.
The can-do attitude.
That's how America was built.
The can-do attitude with Mark in Big Pine Key.
And I want to say one more thing. That's why Joe Garcia got what he got, because he's shoe leather man. He gets out there meeting the people and becoming personal.
Mark, you just led us to House District 26, the southernmost district in Florida and in the United States. Joe Garcia is the Democrat who won against Annette Tadeo on Tuesday. Patty, this sets essentially a repeat of what we saw 2 years ago with former Representative Garcia against the current incumbent Republican in the 26th district, Carlos Curbelo.
Yes, this was already one of the most competitive swing districts in the country. It has been since the 2010 cycle. Now it leans slightly more Democratic since the redistricting happened. And in a presidential year, there's a more Democratic electorate. So the math would seem to favor Garcia. However, Curbelo has tried to govern or to campaign as a moderate. And, you know, this race might not become as nationalized, as we were talking earlier, as other congressional races because it is a rematch, because there is a lot of old history between those folks and people know them both pretty well. So it's going to be hard to kind of redefine each other in the eyes of the voters. I think it's going to be an expensive race and it might get pretty ugly.
Finally, one more point here, Jim, just to the broader point that Mark was pretty passionate about. It has gotten easier to vote. We no longer vote on a single day over the course of 12 hours. We now have, in some counties, 8 days prior, and plus all the absentee opportunities to vote as well, but yet still seeing participation to be pretty paltry.
Right, and I think that's a good thing to continue to make it as easy as possible. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's just go back to your very first point that we started with. The debate right now between Patrick Murphy and Marco Rubio is scheduled for October 26th.
Yep.
Absentee ballots go out on October 10th.
Right.
People have already voted.
Right.
In Dade County, there'll be two solid weeks of early voting. You know, so that's why you're going to also see a lot more money being spent on commercials in September. Candidates aren't going to wait like they normally did until October. You know, we don't
Curbelo
have election day.
Curbelo already has ads up. I mean, there's no break here.
There's no break. It's going to go right in through, you know, because you have to get that early. You have to command that early lead, because once October 10th comes and those absentee ballots drop and people start returning them, it gets harder and harder to change views. And so that cake gets baked pretty quick here. And that we don't have election day. We have election weeks now in Florida.
That's right. Yeah, we have election half month, as a matter of fact. Jim DeFede with CBS4 joining us from those studios. Patty Mazzei covering politics for our partner, the Miami Herald, from our studios in Doral. Jim and Patty, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All the callers, we weren't able to get to everybody here, but we invite you to share your opinion. Did you get out and vote? What's going to motivate you in November? Share your experiences with us on Twitter, at WLRN, and look for us on Facebook as well. Still to come as the roundup continues, a historic peace deal in Colombia and protests in Venezuela. How they're being greeted here and there, that's next.